manggagawa. Iba-ibang mukha, iba-ibang kwento. Sa Soler on Air, silip samdo ng pagkuwa. Halika, usap tayo. Dito lagi kang kasali. Sa Soler on Air, sa Soler on Air.
Magandang gabi mga kaklase. Kayo po ay nakikinig na naman sa isang episode ng Soler on Air. Ako po si Classmate Leanne.
Classmate Rosa.
Ngayong gabi po ay pinagpapatuloy natin ang ating usapan tungkol sa basic public education system. Kasi ngayon, Classmate Rosa, ay June 14 na, 'di ba? At ang ibig sabihin nito,
pasukan na.
Yes, back to school na naman ang mga estudyante natin. At least most of them, ano, kasi ang UP nag-uumpisa pa lang na magbakasyon, 'di ba? Uumpisa pa lang ng bakasyon para sa ating hindi lang sa elementary kung hindi hanggang sa college. Pero sa karamihan sa mga eskwelahan, lalo na yung sa elementary at high school, umpisa na naman ang pasukan. Mm-hmm. At sa palagay natin, magandang talakayin ang usapin ng edukasyon, di ba?
Yes.
Oo, kasi kasama to doon sa human capital development na syempre input ito sa ating paghuhubog sa ating mga manggagawa.
Ayun.
Mm-hmm. So kung maganda ang kanilang foundation, mm-hmm, diba? Ganun din sa pagka sila ay papasok na at magiging kaparte ng ating labor force, mm-hmm, posibleng mas maging productive sila,
yes,
ng mga miyembro ng ating society. Mm-hmm. Diba? So, very exciting ang ating June program kasi marami tayong mga guests na mula sa iba't ibang
bansa.
Panig na mundo, no? Kasi ang ating topic nga ay basic public education system in the Philippines, the Netherlands, Japan, and the US. So, yung US, ano pa yun? Titignan pa natin, di ba?
Okay,
pero hopefully, makuha natin siya.
Pagkahambing-hambing ba yan ang mga iba't-ibang paraan ng pagtuturo?
Kasama na yon Classmate Rosa. Kasi alam mo, maganda rin na tignan natin from the experience of our guests tsaka sa atin. We're not really experts pagdating sa education, hindi ba?
Mm-hmm.
Pero lahat tayo may experience patungkol sa ano bang klase ng pagtuturo ang naranasan natin. Ilan tayo ang mga magkakaklase sa isang nung tayo ay nasa elementary or high school and things like that. So gusto nating makita yung experiences ng ating mga kaibigan mula sa iba't ibang bansa.
Okay.
Ayan. So ngayong gabi, we have a very special guest. Tulad ng nabanggit ko, we will look into the Dutch system din, 'di ba?
Yes.
Of basic public education. Mm-hmm. So we have here on the show Dr. Niels Biriput, Classmate Niels. Good evening, Classmate
Good evening.
Niels.
Thank you for the invitation.
Classmate Niels is an associate professor at the University of Amsterdam. And this is not really his field of study, of expertise, pero we're very glad that he can join us to talk about the basic education system in their country, in his country.
Yeah.
Diba? Okay, first question, Classmate Niels. Can you tell us something about your personal experience? Like, how many, at what age did you start school? And then how many years did you spend in pre-elementary and then elementary, things like that?
Okay, thank you, Classmate Leanne, for this invitation. Dutch school, because in your question, I should also explain the general Dutch educational system. You start at the age of four with kindergarten, then school starts to become compulsory, meaning from Monday morning till Friday afternoon. before that, you have the option already of going to preschool. That is, 2 or 3 mornings per week. That's just playing for children and getting to know other children. From the age of 4, you have kindergarten. Then from the age of 6, you have elementary up to the age of 12. And then at the age of 11, 12 years old, you should decide, or partly it is decided for you, what will be your career in high school. Because in the Netherlands, we have 3 different levels of high schooling. So it's not that all children are put together up to the age of 18. No, there is already at the age of 11, children have to make a national exam already, which is for all children who are 11 years old. And then it will be decided, also partly based on the advice of the school, what will be your career in high school. So that's the system that I personally went through, and largely that system is still in place in the Netherlands.
Okay. Classmate Rosa, in the Philippines, before the K-12 was implemented, we have had 10, diba? Usually we have 10 years of elementary and high school. So 6 years of elementary and 4 years of high school. In your case, it has always been 6 years of elementary and 6 years of high school.
Yes, if you pursue the highest level. Of high school, then it's 6 years. So 6 years in high school grant you access to university afterwards. So that's the the longest trajectory to take. There's also the we have 3 different levels. So we have the highest level is where you get access to university. That's called pre-university education. Hard to make an English translation.
Okay.
Then we have the middle level is where you can access to a school of applied science. And then I won't call it the lowest level. That would be wrong to say. But especially for boys and girls, you know, who want to work with their hands, who know already, I want to become a cook. I want to become a technician. I want to become a plumber or other
hairdresser.
Other job, hairdresser, for example. There we have the school that already at the age of 13 gives you some practical courses for this that help you to go into that direction. So that we have that takes 4 years. Then we have for applied sciences to get access, it takes 5 years, and for university you have to go through 6 years of high school education. But that means that at these 3 levels, courses are taught at a different level too. Mm-hmm. So it's only for the smartest children who can, you know, follow that trajectory towards university. Mm-hmm. Whereas the children who are perhaps a little bit later in their intellectual development, or who don't know as much yet, or who, you know, in their home situation have not been as much acquainted with, you know, a more intellectual environment, they often go to start the 4-year trajectory.
And are there separate different schools, I mean, for these different trajectories, or are, you know, the students go to one
well, they,
school?
Well, they go to the same school, but then they each follow classes with boys and girls from their own level. So the ones in the VBO, the 6-year trajectory, they are sitting together. The ones in the 5-year trajectory are sitting together. And then, of course, in some the courses tree. Like gymnastics or in basketball, these groups are put together, or in football, and then it's always, you know, the different levels fighting against each other. but that's a separate issue.
Oh. So if you should decide, for example, you wanted to shift to academics or to applied science, you can do that within the 6-year period.
Well, it's very in the past it was easier, and now unfortunately it has become more difficult to move from one level to another level. For example, in the past, or what I did, I was in the middle level. I was in the 5-year program. I graduated from this 5-year program, mm-hmm. because at the end of the 5 years, there's the national exam to take. So I passed the national exam after 5 years, and mm-hmm. then from that year, from year 5 in mm-hmm. that program, you can make a horizontal switch to year 5 in the highest level program. Do you understand what I mean?
No. Okay, we have to take a break. Maybe you could explain further mm-hmm. how the transition happens if a student wants to move from one track to a different track. Okay. So, ang DZUP 1602 po ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan Mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas, sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Samahan niyo kaming mahook
sa isang malaman,
matapang,
at masayang usapan.
Psycho Clock Habits!
6 to 7 ng gabi, tuwing Huwebes,
sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka!
Kaya kong unahin gumawa ng homework kahit gustong-gusto ko nang maglaro ng computer games.
Kaya kong manatili sa iisang lane at sumunod sa traffic light kahit nagmamadali ako.
Kaya kong tumawid sa tamang tawiran kahit gaano pa kataas ang aakyatin kong footbridge.
Kaya kong regular na magbayad ng buwis kahit napakaliit ng sahod ko.
Maliliit na mga bagay pero malaki ang may tutulong sa pag-unlad ng bansa. Ikaw, anong kaya mong gawin para sa Pilipinas?
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Isang oras ng Facebook? Posibleng katumbas niyan ay 2 pages sa paper mo. O, manonood ka muna ng episode ng paborito mong series. Nako, siguro natapos mo na report mo. O, isang tweet? Talaga? Isa lang? Nakapag-aral ka na sana para sa eksamo bukas. Hindi mo na mababalik ang oras mo. Kaya siguraduhin gamitin ito upang maging produktibo. Tigilan ang pag-cram. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Halika, usap tayo sa Solero Nair.
Okay, nagbabalik po ang Solero on Air, mga kaklase. At ako pa rin si Classmate Leanne.
Classmate Rosa po.
At pinag-uusapan natin ngayon ang basic public education system sa Netherlands. Kasama natin ang ating guest, si Classmate Niels. Mm-hmm. Classmate Niels, before the break, you explained a little bit about how to change from one track to another. But we didn't get that very clearly. However, you did say that it has become more difficult to change or to shift. And in your experience, it was actually easier for you then, but for students now, that's not necessarily the case anymore. Could you explain that further?
Well, it's the educational system is developed in such a way that, you know, young people are almost put in a rigid direction that they should take. And, you know, for young people who at a later age develop an intellectual interest, or who are still a bit playful when they are young and become more, you know, intellectually inclined, start to read more books at a later age, become more serious, discover the right study habit, it has become more difficult that, you know, you can be at the lowest level mm-hmm. and then discover, no, I can do, I have much more capacities. I can follow courses at a higher level. And then it's difficult in between, if you're in one track, mm-hmm. to move to a higher track. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that could lead to, you know, some unfulfilled potential mm-hmm. Young people mm-hmm. who follow courses at a level that is right. too low for them and mm-hmm. might get bored etc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Skip school, skip mm-hmm. classes. So that's a difficulty what you have with such a system, yeah. where people at the age of 12 are already put in a certain trajectory mm-hmm. that if you follow the 4-year trajectory, you go to vocational mm-hmm. school. If you follow the 5-year trajectory, you go to applied science.
By applied science, classmate Niels, what do you mean?
That's
like what courses, for example?
Well, that's in the Netherlands or in Europe in general, we have the University of Applied Science, mm-hmm. as they are called, mm-hmm. which is not so much academic training, which are far more the programs aimed at middle level positions mm-hmm. in companies with a solid technical training or mm-hmm. a solid commercial training mm-hmm. or a solid training in bookkeeping, mm-hmm. but not with a focus on academic learning, mm-hmm. Doing research yourself as you get in university mm-hmm. education.
Maybe computer science. How computer about computer science? Is yeah. that applied?
Bookkeeping,
that can be studied at applied science mm-hmm. level, mm-hmm. yes.
But I do understand, and I can, you know, sympathize with young students who at a very young age are made to choose, you know, what track to take.
You're and not mm-hmm. yet quite sure of what, you know.
What are your interests, yes. you know, mm. which subjects you like best. Mm. But how is it now, what happens when I change track? How many years, like if I'm from the fifth, I'm in mm-hmm. the 5-year track, yeah. I want to move to the 6-year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happens? I mean,
well, it is still longer? Possible. It's because I, for example, did the 5-year track and I graduated from the 5-year track. So the 5-year track is finished with a national exam, which all the students who follow the high school students who follow the 5-year track have to take at the end of the 5 years. And when I graduated, I had the option, and that still exists, to move from year 5 in that track to year 5 of the 6-year track. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you make a horizontal switch after yes. graduating in year 5
yes.
from that program, you move to year 5 from the 6-year program.
Yeah, okay.
And then you follow classes in year 5 of the 6-year travel, 6-year program. And then you move to the 6th year mm-hmm. of that program. Mm-hmm. And then you can graduate. If you graduate from there, you can still go to university. But that means that instead of the 6-year program, for you took then 7 years to complete.
Ooh.
So that's how the... But of course, for schools, for Ministry of Education, it is slightly expensive to have mm-hmm. all these people extra years mm-hmm. yes. in the high school system. Mm-hmm. So it's made slightly more difficult these days mm-hmm. to make these horizontal steps and to really climb through the system. Mm-hmm. But it is still possible. They want that after your 4-year track, you go to vocational school. After your 5-year track, applied science. And only after 6 years, university.
Alam mo, classmate Rosa, classmate Niels, we have, I think, a similar system now, no? Under the K-12, where students choose particular track. Yeah. But
In senior high, actually.
In senior high school.
In senior high, you now are able to choose whether you want to go vocational, academic, or sports.
Mm-hmm.
So there are basically three tracks to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Sports are
about you're about 17 and 18 years old.
Yes, so but I also don't know. It's not so clear to me. What if you want to switch tracks, like in like what the classmate Niels explained?
Okay.
I don't know how it is in our case, but maybe we could invite someone from the DepEd to explain.
Yep.
You know, so okay. That's a very interesting sharing, classmate Niels. But now we go back a little bit, okay, from looking at the Dutch system in general. Okay, we look at the experiences that you've had, or children usually have, in elementary and in high school, comparing it with the Philippines. For example, in the Philippines, what we have is, at least in the public education system, we have about how many students per class? Classmate Ross, about 40 at least, 40 to 50.
In public school.
Public
in
schools,
the public school, yeah, 40, 50.
40 to 50.
And there are even cases, especially in remote areas, where you have four classes simultaneous in one class. Like grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, all together. Can you believe it's still happening right now?
Yes, now. Yeah, I think there are still cases like that. But we don't really want to compare apples to apples. They're not comparable. But we only want to know like how many children are in a class in the Netherlands.
I think in elementary, currently, it's around 30
children
per class. There are always discussions in the Netherlands, too. Classes should be smaller. They should be 20, 25 or so. But at the moment, it's still not enough capacity for having smaller classes. Plus, it's also considered as too expensive. So 30 is really currently the norm for schools. Mm-hmm. And if schools have not enough children, then they end up being closed. That's the unfortunate situation. And that's, well, not of course in the main cities, that's not an issue, but in some remote areas in the Netherlands, in some smaller communities where there are not enough children being born anymore, schools had to close down and children had to, you know, take long commute. Fortunately, that's subsidized by the government, but they had to have to travel long distance for getting to school.
Okay, how about the medium of instruction? Is it always in English, or normally in Dutch, combined with English or with some other languages?
Well, it's a good point that when I was still in school, it was all Dutch. And, you know, at the age of 12, you got, or age of 11, you got 1 hour of English training
at
per
what
week.
Age? At what age? What age do you start, like,
Learning English?
English?
Well, in the highest level of elementary, you get 1 hour, 2 hour per week in English, but that's not much yet. That's a bit playing with the language. In high school,
that means grade 5, grade 6, excuse me, classmate Niels, to interrupt. But it's interesting to learn that in your time, you start to learn English, at the much later in elementary, like maybe grade 5 or grade 6. That's the equivalent in the Philippines. In the Philippines, the children learn English quite early, diba?
Yeah.
Classmate Rosa?
That's our medium of instruction is supposed to be English, but they're now changing it a bit.
It has changed, yeah.
Well, because I think it was for a very long time, the perception, let's first learn Dutch well before starting to learn all other languages. So you start at the age of 11, you start a bit with English. And then in high school, so from the age of 12, as far as I remember, we had 3 hours or 4 hours of English language instruction per week. But in addition to English, we also got training in German and French. So we had, aside from Dutch language, we had 3 other languages to learn in high school. And nowadays, there's even the option for children in high school. It's not compulsory. It's an extra option. Children could learn Chinese, Spanish, Arabic. Those languages are now taught in high school too.
So Dutch kids, when they graduate, they're more or less expected to
learn more than
how to speak
one
Dutch
language.
Okay, of course, Dutch is their mother tongue. So aside from Dutch, English, German, and French. Wow.
Well, at least you get training in those languages.
Yes,
what young people remember from it? That differs per individual.
But that's okay because in the Philippines we also learn a bit of Spanish.
In college we had Spanish, before. But after that we forgot everything.
Right, but when you watch
Dora, that sounds familiar.
If you watch Dora in Spanish, Dora the Explorer, you might be able to still understand some of the Spanish.
My question is it free to study in public school, elementary and high school?
You only need to a small amount is expected from parents. Or that's also an issue currently in Dutch education, that parents are supposed to make a voluntary contribution. Mm-hmm. In practice, schools always insist that you pay the amount, so there's nothing voluntary about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And the amount asked from schools is getting higher and higher, so that's what parents are now resisting, that well, school is supposed to be free, but we're expected to pay this amount of money, which in some cases is more than €1,000 per year.
Mm-hmm.
And then parents very correct are questioning, is this really what do our children get in return for this?
Right, and 60,000, I mean €1,000, classmate, for the information of our listeners, is about 60,000 pesos.
Oh, that's costly.
Oh, imagine 60,000. yung mga private schools sa atin, di ba, don't even cost that much, di ba? Meron ka ng private school na 20,000-30,000 per year. So, but anyway, classmate Niels, in the Philippines, we also have a lot of private schools, elementary and high school. Is how about in the Netherlands? Is it majority really public schools, or do parents have this?
That's good question. In the Netherlands, the vast majority, or I would say almost all schools, are public schools. Public schools get subsidy from the Ministry of Education. Public schools are under strict monitoring of the Ministry of Education. So every few years, the school is entirely scrutinized. Is the level of instruction of the children still good enough? Are the standards, quality standards of the school to acceptable standards?
Mm-hmm.
So almost all schools are public schools. There are only a few private schools, and that's more of experimental learning type of schools. And then parents have to pay more for it themselves.
Okay, so magbabalik po tayo ulit, mga classmates, sa ating pagbabalik. Tanong naman natin si classmate Niels kung marami ba siyang homework na kailangan gawin nung siya ay nasa elementary.
Yan ang sakit ng ulo ng mga bata.
Hindi ba? Gano'ng karami kayang
homework?
Diba?
Tsaka gano'ng karaming libro ang dala mo sa eskwela na halos makuba ka na.
Okay. So, ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas, sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali Angelica.
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602. Tayo na makinig sa DZUP 1602. Ikaw ako tayo sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Ito na ang programang kukumpleto sa Webes nyo.
Yun, yun!
Tampok ang mga boses, kwento at talento ng ating mga kawani, reps at mga guro ng bayan.
Yun, yun!
Tara na at pakinsa sa usapan para sa isang pamantasan at bansang masaya, masigla, malaya, makamamamayan at makabayan. Para sa isang tatakbo nyo na usapan, yun, yun! Tuwing Huwebes, alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon, dito lang sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Ang Heart at Play Foundation ay isang NGO na nagbibigay ng libreng dance movement therapy para sa mga persons with special needs. Inihahandog nila ngayon ang kanilang third annual benefit event, ang Runway Speciale, A Story of Beauty, isang fashion show kung saan bidang-bida ang ating mga special brothers and sisters. Mayroon ding special performances ang Legit Status, Jensen and the Flips, The Cohens, DJ Rami Bitong, Kid Lightning Crew at ang Ateneo Medical Dance Group. Para sa karagdagang impormasyon, bisitahin ang facebook.com/theheartatplayph. Ito ay hatid sa inyo ng Heart at Play Foundation sa pakikipagtulungan ng DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
No to tuition hike! Demand justice for human rights victims! Stop corruption! Okay! Sign the petition! Sign the petition! Sign... Ang daling maging responsableng mamamayan basta may internet. Ay, makatulog na muna.
Hoy, gising! Hindi nalulutas ang problema ng bayan sa pagpindot-pindot mo dyan. Ang tunay na paggawa, may kalakip na konkretong aksyon. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Liga, usap tayo sa Soleronair.
Nagbabalik po ang Soleron Air. Ako po si Classmate Leyan.
Classmate Rosa.
At kasama pa rin natin si Classmate Niels. Ngayon ay pinag-uusapan natin ang basic education system sa Netherlands at sinusubukan nating i-compare, no, Rosa, sa ating sariling education system. Classmate Niels, before the break, we were talking about the homework, the load of homework that children get, and we wonder, because in the Philippines, it's really burdensome for parents because elementary students, when they come home, they have this notebook full of, in this subject, please do pages this and this, and math and science. Do you get, you know, so much? Are you given so much homework in the Netherlands as well?
Well, my experience is from more than 30 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
In my perception, in elementary, there was not much homework at that time. Just some small extra exercise to make here and there, or, you know, a little bit of preparation for the next exam that you would have in school. So, when in elementary, there's not so much homework, and I think over time that has become less and less because of what is the value of homework? Is it just doing more of the same exercise? Is it just, you know, you can let them calculate more, you can let them write more, but what do they really learn from it? In high school, I remember that, well, at least I had to carry a lot of books to school every day, although that was when you're 12, 13, somehow you carry more books with you than when you're 17 or 18, because then you know better know which books are never asked anyway. So, yes, in high school, I would say there you get a substantial amount of homework. In my perception, how much time was it? It was 2 hours per day at home.
Homework, yeah.
But I was also fairly slow when I was making the homework. So I was what was 2 or 3 hours for me was perhaps an hour for other person. So I can't give, that depends per person on how fast and how disciplined you are in making your homework. But I felt it was, well, took quite some time for me.
Right. But elementary, virtually almost no homework. But in the Philippines, not the case.
Not so much. I don't think so.
So what do you do? Like, what do you do after school? Okay, when you get home from school, what do you do?
You play.
You play. You go to the sports club. You play football with your friends. You watch television, watch YouTube. What young children do. That's what young kids do then, or they stay slightly longer, because officially in Netherlands elementary schools finish at 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many parents are still at work, of course. Then the pupils can go to after school care, and that's from 3:30 till 6 o'clock, and there they can play, there they can also do some sports. So those are the options then.
Here we play on the streets.
In the Netherlands too.
Oh,
still.
Yeah.
What about the teaching approach? Is it still teacher-centered in your time? Like, you just listen to, the teacher instructing you, telling you this, everything coming from the teacher, mostly.
Well, I think in that respect, nowadays in the Netherlands, the educational system is really not about that top-down, one-way direction of information. There's much more attention for children to discover things themselves, to do presentations in class, to make sure small essays or prepare other things for the group to make, have small group assignments. In fact, there's sometimes a little bit of complaint that school nowadays is too much about practical skills and not enough about learning pure hard skills, or making
reading.
Sure that everyone knows all the English words for the next test.
Right, but do you also? I mean, is the teaching method, which is what we have in the Philippines? It's a lot of it are drills, like multiplication drills and division, and I'm talking about elementary, at the elementary level. Do you get so many home worksheets, for example, in a class, and just
do repetitive work? That's not the case. There's really a variety in teaching methods in schools nowadays, and perhaps, I don't know whether it's because of that reason, I don't know if it's because of other reasons, but in recent studies have shown that Dutch children are the happiest children in the world. So perhaps it comes from how they are taught in schools. Could be one of the explanations for it.
Yes, I'm sure that the education system has some influence on the results of that study. Have you read about it, Rosa? That Dutch children are some of the happiest children in the world. Wow. And I think also another reason for that is Dutch children have a lot of space for physical activity, lots of opportunities to engage in sports, and young children, they have loads of energies, and they can release this through physical exercises. And so my question is, how is it that Dutch kids And even, you know, when they grow up and become adults, they're so into sports. They're very sports-minded.
Well, the Dutch government or Dutch society in general has always considered it very important that people have enough physical exercise, not only young people, but even old age, people of an old age need to have enough physical exercise. That's why we have so many bike lanes in the Netherlands, for example, that people can go biking. And also organized sports in the Netherlands is very well organized. It's given subsidies by government, by the municipality, and young children can join a football club, can join a swimming club, can join tennis or any other sport, meaning on Wednesday afternoon they can go training for the football, and on Saturday morning they can play a football match. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they have their physical exercise there. It's partly subsidized by the government, but it's also expected that parents make their contribution at the sports club, that they act as volunteers, which can be cleaning the dressing rooms, which can be driving the young children to an away match, mm-hmm. working in the canteen. Mm-hmm. So parents are expected to play a role in the organized sports clubs, mm-hmm. where usually there are professional trainers, so the young boys who play football and want to accomplish something really get trained well by professionally trained trainers. That's why it also then becomes more motivating to continue and not stop after half a year or after a year because it's not so well organized. There's a really good infrastructure for all kinds of sports, mm-hmm. that young people want to follow.
Oh, it's very accessible, you know.
That's why there are so many Dutch Olympians. Didn't you notice?
It's later very interesting.
Later, I want also to ask if lunch and snacks are free.
Yes. Kasi hanggang 3:30 sila sa school.
We ask after the break.
Oo. Okay. Ang DZUP 1602 po ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan Mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas, sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Overthink on.
Revealan na to.
Dumaan yung BSR.
Sabi ko na yung
sira kasi yung Bluetooth ng phone ko.
Huwag mo na lang ito. Gawin mo na.
First line pa nga lang.
Boom. Huwag siya sabi ng maraming PSA. Ang dami ako naisip.
Nagsusundutan
lang tayo dito.
Tropang Radio.
Makikulo sa Tropang Radio. 7 to 8 p.m. mula Lunes hanggang Biyernes. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Save the environment!
Yan ang madalas nilang sabihin. Pero paano ba yung gagawin?
Magtanim ka ng mga puno hanggang matabunan lahat ng mga bundok.
Mag-imbento ka ng renewable fuel. Patigil mo ang mining at logging sa buong mundo. Do!
Hindi kailangang bongga. Start small. Unplug. Tanggalin sa saksakan ang mga gadgets o appliances na hindi ginagamit. Ang matipid na paggamit ng kuryente ay pagtulong sa kalikasan.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
No to tuition hike! Demand justice for human rights victims! Stop corruption! Okay, Sign the petition! Sign the petition! Sign. Ang daling maging responsableng mamamayan basta may internet. Ay, makatulog na muna.
Hoy, gising! Hindi nalulutas ang problema ng bayan sa pagpindot-pindot mo dyan. Ang tunay na paggawa, may kalakip na konkretong aksyon. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Ligaw-usap tayo sa Solero Net.
Okay, nagbabalik po ang Solero Net. Ako po si Classmate Leyan.
Classmate Rosa.
At kasama natin, walang iba kundi si Classmate Niels. Yan.
An old friend. Of UP. Uh-huh. He did his PhD research here in the Philippines.
Data gathering.
And he was based mostly...
All over. He was all over. Visiting different...
And he married a Filipina.
Yes, so...
Something to be, you know, happy about.
I thought we would just discuss class struggle in our radio show. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, before the break, Classmate Ross, I want to ask Classmate.
Yeah,
yes?
What about lunch and snacks? Are they for free?
Well, perhaps this is a sensitive topic and where we can learn something from Philippines. We don't have a very well-developed lunch culture in Netherlands, meaning young children, what do they bring to school for lunch? Just a small plastic box with two sandwiches, three sandwiches, one with cheese, one with ham, and perhaps one with jam, and that's it, with an apple, and so that's the lunch. No extensive packages with rice and vegetables and what a mother has cooked at 6 a.m.
Oh yes.
No, it's just a very basic 3 slices of bread, and that's it.
I think moms in the Netherlands would also be, you know, one of the happiest in the world.
I heard that the cows in Holland are as big as trucks.
Ah, talaga?
So that they have so much dairy products. Oh. So probably, well, is that accounts for so much dairy in your diet?
Well, there is a lot of, you know, if you talk about what is the Dutch diet, we're moving a bit away from our original topic. I would say, yeah, Dutch diet consists of course, a lot of dairy products, milk, for milk, what you drink with your breakfast and with your cereal. With your lunch, cheese, loads of bread, brown bread, what we eat every day. So those are the essentials of Dutch daily meals.
So Dutch children just bring sandwiches to school for lunch. You have a cafeteria in most schools as well, or you also don't have
we have there are cafeteria in school, and that's a good point too, that in recent years there's a trend that cafeteria in school don't sell unhealthy products like Mars bars or other chocolates,
French fries.
No, they don't even Roger serve.
And steak.
They don't. No, they don't serve warm meals anyway. So anyway, they only serve coffee and tea. Children in the Netherlands start drinking coffee at a very young age already. So they serve coffee and tea and some other basic healthy snacks. But no candies anymore, and that's really been a trend in recent years.
Okay, because here the canteen is often one of the highlights. I mean, one of the most popular places where
they
children
hang
out, diba? Because there you can get all sorts of old foodstuffs.
Mostly we have carbs like banana cube.
Spaghetti. Pasta, diba?
root crops like kamote.
In some of the better schools. Pero I think even here, there's been a move towards really choosing which snacks and to serve students, less of the no soda anymore. Mm. So no soft drinks. So in a way similar to what's happening in the imitating the healthy culture in other countries, maybe. Yeah. So what else, classmate Rosa? Do you have any more question for classmate Niels? I think I want to ask about the grading system in the Netherlands. Yes. Filipino kids, elementary, whether in elementary or high school, tend to be, I've noticed that tend to be grade conscious. Many students and even parents, there's a lot of emphasis on how on what did you get, like
how well did you do by means of the grades,
in the exams. Did you get a 70 or an 80 or a 90? And if you get a 90, you're expected to maintain that every grading period, and if you get a lower score, you're expected to
and children try. Tend to compare with each other, especially in the grading.
So is it how is it in the Netherlands? Are you also graded very
rigidly?
Well, it's this, especially the point that you mentioned, that students are becoming much more grade obsessed. I noticed it myself in the past few years lecturing at the university, but also at elementary and high school level. Grades in the Netherlands are from 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, and above 5.5 means passing. Nowadays, there is, on the one hand, there is great inflation, which seems to be happening in universities, in schools all over the world, that grades somehow become higher and higher, or that teachers have become more generous compared to 20, 30 years ago, but also that the obsession with getting high grades as a way to distinguish yourself from others is becoming much more important, and which is of course a negative trend. And somehow what I noticed from my own experience, if someone gets a 7.8, said there's a bigger chance that he comes and starts complaining and wants to get that 8.0 than when you give someone a 6.8, that he will not put the same effort in trying to get a 7.0. so it's especially that 8.0 is always the magical
threshold.
But also increasingly is how everything below 8.0 is seen as a low grade, which in practice is of course totally ridiculous. But yeah, that's a result of the much more competitive environment in which young people have to operate these days, where there's so much more emphasis on grades and in excelling in a group. One good thing what we don't have compared to Philippines, and what I see in so many Facebook posts in the Philippines now some time ago, is that children already at the lowest level get prizes, best in you name it,
right?
Science,
first honors, second honors for every grading period.
Yes, and that's what we don't have, and that's what I think what is really, really good, that you shouldn't at a young age already give people all kinds of prizes for, what in some cases are fairly meaningless achievements mm-hmm. or what doesn't say much about you know how that person did compared to the rest.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've also noticed, Rosa, that these grades really make the students very anxious yeah. also, diba? Yeah, because yes. there's an additional pressure from the parents and the teachers mm-hmm. to either improve or maintain your grade. Did you ever feel, you know, a sort of anxiety towards your performance in school when you were still in elementary or in high school? Did you ever feel that, you know?
Well, I was permanently insecure. I was permanently worried whether my grades would be good enough. As I was never the kind of student that was excelling or that was the best in class.
Okay, maybe
not at
the
all.
Question is: well, did you ever think that your feeling anxious is something that you shared with the rest of the students in, is it a general feeling from okay. is it a general feeling among your classmates?
Well, I think there is in general, you know, people are increasingly pressured to perform, and that is, you know, in some cases will really make people insecure in many ways.
Okay, so meron din silang stress sa grades, pero siguro less compared sa atin. Ano, classmate Rosa. Okay. So, what have we learned so far for this episode? Well, I think we learned that the Dutch system, basic education system, is in a way more complex or more elaborate than the Philippine system, in that very early on, at age 11 and 12, meron na silang different tracks, ano, mm-hmm. classmate Rosa. And then most of yung characteristic ng kanilang education system is really public. Okay, public. Mm-hmm. Hindi public and private, yeah. diba? Katulad mm-hmm. sa atin. Pero talaga sa kanila halos public mm-hmm. talaga, public schools.
And so much subsidy from the government.
So much subsidy, so much emphasis on sports. Language. Ang dami palang tinuturo na klase ng language, ano?
Nasa Europe sila. Tabi-tabi silang magkakabansa doon.
Oo, sa bagay. Oo, pero maganda din yun, di ba? I mean, it might also be something that we can learn from mm-hmm. kasi syempre globalized na yung ating environment, mas international na talaga. Uh-oh. So, maganda kung may alam kang ibang language aside from your mother tongue. Okay. And not so much homework pala sa elementary ang mga Dutch kids, so that they can stay happy.
Ikaw ba nung elementary ka, marami kang lessons?
Marami. Yung mga anak ko ngayon, parang nag-i-escalate sa school nila. Merong grade level na halos araw-araw ka nang may gagawing homework. Pero grade 1, grade 2, halos wala. Okay. Maraming salamat, Classmate Neil.
Thank you so much, Classmate
Thank
Neil.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, for joining us and for enlightening us, di ba? Yeah. On the Dutch basic education system based on your experience. Okay, hanggang sa susunod, mga classmate. Ito po si Classmate Leanne.
Classmate Rose.
Hanggang sa susunod na episode ng Soler on Air.
Hanggang sa susunod ng Miyerkules, magsama-sama tayong muli dito sa Soler on Air, sa Soler on Air.